dads that are in the room and all of our mighty men. And there's going to be father figures in our room that are, maybe they're going to be there 5 years, 10. So there's dads in the making, which I'm thankful for the future Living Faith Church. Thankful for the strength again that you provide. We want you to enjoy your day. And may the Lord bless your day. You're king for a day. Is that cool? Yeah? Yeah, king for the day. And then Monday will come. Is that good? Just we give you one day. Right outside, there's a photo booth that's second to none. You're going to enjoy it. The Zigglers, they keep hitting it out of the park when they do these photo booths. And I think we have the best one in the city, honestly. So you'll want to make sure Dad gets dressed up. I want to see Dennis Lindquist in that fishing hat. How about y'all? And Dennis, I'll wear one if you wear one, and maybe we can take one together. But let's see who. I know Howard's going to wear one, but Dennis needs to wear a hat, right? Is that cool, everybody? So he's already wearing a baseball cap. I'm not going to pick on him too much today, but that's okay. How about Larry Fuller wearing one too? Dennis, I mean, all you guys, man. Yeah, we'll just be there. Hey, I'll run out of room if I keep asking everybody today. Also, get donuts for the dads. They're incredible. I had one, and I don't think I'm going to be able to preach now. Too much sugar, but it's good. Amen. Missions baseball game is happening this week, as you heard. You want to make sure that you go on the website, samissions.com. The tickets are inexpensive. I believe they're $4 a piece. And it's like dollar night, dollar dogs, and so forth. That's this coming week. You want to make sure that you're part of that. If you can't get through on the website like I couldn't, you can dial in before 5, 8 to 5 business hours, and just they'll do it over the phone and email you the tickets. And you want to be part of that great game that they play, the Corpus Christi Hooks. And also you heard by the announcements is a Market Days is coming this coming Saturday. Michelle Jimenez and Linda Ziegler are putting together a market day. The market days will have one-of-a-kind crafts and so forth and booths. There's about 25 already that are coming from the community, jewelry and that sort of thing. There'll be, I think, some food trucks and that sort of thing. So it's going to be a great day. You want to be part of market days. All the funds go towards our closet and our closet ministry, how we clothe those that don't have clothes in our community that need clothing. And finally, as you heard, Painting with a Twist and Panda Express is happening. Lisa Copeland can tell you more about that. They're here. Her and Alex are putting together a faith raiser for our young people and as we do that. But you'll want to be, you can do the dinner aspect because that's all day. Just tell them at Alamo Ranch as you go into that Panda Express, hey, you're from Living Faith Church and our proceeds go towards us. And then Painting with a Twist, you need to go ahead and sign up on that. Yes and amen. Amen. Finally, I want to go ahead and thank our small group leaders. They're launching out this week to do their small groups. There's a sheet right outside the foyer that tells you about them. You can go on our website. You also can get updated. Wouldn't it be great if we had a small group in every neighborhood? Amen, amen, Pastor. That'd be great. But, you know, one day we'll have that. But right now we're beginning with, I think, 5 or 6. Yesterday I was at one where we did the disc golf thing at the park, and Mike Montgomery's heading that up. And of course, relationship is what it's about, but we also do the disc golf thing, and then we come together and pray a scripture. So it's all good, right, everybody? And there'll be some at coffee houses and that sort of thing. God just wants his people to gather together for relationship, and you should be about that, right, everybody? Jesus was part of a small group. So you should too. Amen. Just saying, right? You should be part of a small group. There are weekly ones that happen, so make sure that you plug yourself in. We're in week 4 of our Marvel Bible Hero series, and we're bringing Abraham down from the heavens to come down and speak to us today. Our Bible ancestors, they were ordinary men and women just like you. They got disappointed. They cried. They were emotional. They bled. They were just like you. They were ordinary. But God did something because they had faith in God that they made a mark. They're legends now. And their tombstone still speaks to this very day. And they outlived themselves because of what they did. Well, that could never be me. Yes, it can, because you have the Holy Spirit within you. And so the Bible tells us of a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. And these are people probably you've never met. Of course, you have some aunts and uncles up there, maybe generations past, and you don't even know you're going to meet them, but you get to heaven and you see them. But right now, they're part of a great cloud of witnesses, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, that are saying, come on, you can make it. because I've been praying for you and hoping for you. Aren't you glad that you have a cheering section in your corner yesterday? Amen. They're real heroes of faith today. And by faith, what are they saying to us this hour? And we've explored those for 4 weeks, and we're at week number four. We marvel at their stories because by faith, Enoch believed in God, and he was so close to God that he walked right into heaven. By faith, he did that. By faith, Moses walked into heaven. Moses led people, and because he didn't want the pleasures of Egypt, he left the world behind and pursued what God would have for him. And he would have just been another Pharaoh, but God said, no, you're going to be a legend now. I'm going to let you write the first four books in the Bible today. Aren't you glad for men and women like this that we marvel at, because we can go to the Cineplex and see Marvel superheroes, but you're meant to do what they're supposed to do. Maybe you won't fly as high as they can, or maybe you won't have an armored suit like they, but you are meant to do the things that they're doing on this earth, because the church has got replaced by going to the movie theater and we see these guys, but you're supposed to do that. Your shadow is supposed to walk by somebody that's needing healing and they get healed today. You're supposed to feed 5,000 people. It's within you to do great things for the Lord, but you begin one day at a time, just like these legends did. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see by the way that we gather, by the way that we grow, and by the way that we go. Amen. We want to welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, welcome them. They're online and they're listening. And we want to thank you. If you would, also, you can share that message with somebody that needs to hear a good word today. You might want to do that by faith. Just share it. When you get home, you watch it. Also here that are here in Living Faith Church, someone always needs to hear a good word. Right, everybody? Amen. You have your own marvelous experience that you can have in God, that people would marvel at you, that wow moment today. A lifetime that you can live in God is a wow moment. You won't be perfect because no one is in this room. But if you dedicate yourself to the things of God today, you'll be a person of faith today. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And it says that therefore you're surrounded by these great clouds of witnesses. These are legends, people of faith. Again, Amah Yapah, amen. They're up there in heaven and they're cheering you on. It says, let us throw everything off that hinders us. They have that. We all have that kryptonite, that thing that sin that's so easily entangled. What is that one thing? They don't want you. They want you to push because you got more running to do. You got to let that thing go. You got God to pursue. It's this habit, this thing. Well, if you let it go, amen, you'll run with perseverance and run. Don't give up today because there's a race marked out just for you. God has an assignment for every one of them in this room, every one of us in this room that's just peculiar, just for you, just special, just for you. And no one else can run it quite like you. Isn't that amazing? God would have you run it the way that you run it. The history is in your DNA. You got Ancestry.com. Dad is maybe a gift for Father's Day, and they paid the $89, amen. But you have a holy ancestry within you. And it's beyond that cousin that you found out was maybe doing something illegal. Well, he was your third cousin, right? And we all have a background today. And you have a holy ancestry. And the royal blood of heaven flows through every one of your veins today. Amen. In this room today. And God can do great things and mighty things. Do you ever notice that when somebody's already accomplished something, they look at it in a different perspective? You've been that way. Remember the high school that you came from? And maybe you're talking to a young guy and he's in the high school. You've been 20 years out of high school, but they're going to the same high school. They went to Jefferson, and they're going to Jefferson, and you went to Jefferson maybe 20 years ago, or whatever, John Jay, 50 years ago. It's an old high school, right? And I went to John Jay. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it, man. That young person's telling you they're bagging groceries or whatever they're doing. I don't know. Well, you can make it because I made it. And if God did it within me, you can do it. You just have a different perspective because you already bought the T-shirt, right? Go Mustangs or whatever it might be. You've already gone through it. And you can advise. The people in heaven have already done their race. They're in heaven. And because of it, they can look at it and say, you can accomplish great things. I'm pulling for you. Right, everybody? Amen, everybody? Old Testament saints would tell you, don't quit. Don't give up today. So the series of encouragement is right before you today. You have a lesson of champions. One at a time, we're bringing them down. Abraham is known as the father of our faith. Amen. Thank God for that one person going to heaven with me. Amen. And Abraham would tell us, because he went through this, just like you go through this, when you don't understand God's ways, because a lot of times we don't, well, they must have blind faith. And so right at the very beginning right there, are y'all with me with your message notes? Do you have your message notes? If you need them, by the way, raise your hand. I'm doing this a little bit. I'm late in my game, but I'm catching up. Anybody need message notes? If you need them, raise your hand high. You're going to need them. Could you show me the first slide? When you don't understand God's ways, here's what happens. That blind faith. Faith isn't blind. It's trusting God. It's this way. Well, that's just blind faith. They're just, no. My faith is not blind. My circumstance may be huge, but my God is bigger than my circumstance. Amen. That problem is huge, but God is bigger than that problem. Right, everybody? Amen. Big problem, bigger God. Right, everybody? Amen. And thank God for it. Faith is this thing, this term that we use a lot in church. And all it is this, well, I got faith in God. Well, what does that mean? Faith in God is this ability to see when you really can't see it with a good attitude. Because sometimes I have this bad attitude when you don't even have the travel brochure. Well, give me the agenda and the itinerary, because I know what time the plane lands, when I'm going to get on it, my pass and all that, so I know where my seat's at. Faith is going without the ticket and still acting like you got a plane reservation. And having a good attitude that God's going to meet you at the airport. Right, everybody? And that's God. That's faith. Because I've been there when I don't have the ticket and I don't know what I'm going to do and God's showing up and I don't have the travel brochure, but I still have a bad attitude. And that's not faith. Well, I don't know why God's doing this. I don't know why he's waiting so long. I don't know why he's putting me through this. I know you ain't like me. Pray for your pastor. Right, everybody? You don't have a bad attitude like I do sometimes. Amen? You don't even have a clue, but you still show up without a bad attitude. You show up with a good attitude that God is going to show up in your circumstance. Abraham would encourage us that God always does the right thing, even when it seems absurd, even when you don't understand it, even when it doesn't seem right, when it doesn't make sense. I've been at the point in my life where I thought, God, are you sure? You can't be right. This has to be wrong. God, you're not doing the right thing in my life. God, are you sure? I know you're looking at me like, God, that guy shouldn't be preaching up there because he needs a lot of faith. So, again, you're not like me, but I've asked God in seasons like, God, are you very sure today? And so the thought might be this, is when you don't understand God's ways, God always does what? It's in your handout today. You see that, right, everybody? When I raised my children as they were growing up, and especially when they became teenagers, something came of them where they got real lazy as teenagers, and they didn't want to go to school all the time. And so, come on, Dad, you got to wake up. We got to get to school. We got to, you know, beat the traffic. We got to go. Come on, you know, I got a stomach ache. No, you don't. Get up. You're getting up. You're going to school, and you're going to thank me later for making you go to school, because if you don't go to school, you're not going to get your high school diploma, right, everybody? And one day they thanked me for making them go to school. I'm still waiting, but it's coming, right, everybody? And how many know God's a perfect parent? Amen. So he's not like earthly man. He's not like an earthly dad. And one day you're going to thank God. It's going to be that aha moment. Oh, Lord, I get it finally. You might be on this earth. Hopefully it's on this earth. But it may be in heaven where you go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I know that I had to wait to heaven to understand, and that's many of us. It reminds me of that guy. It's a funny story. If you could ask God one thing, what would you ask him? What would we ask God if we could ask him one thing, one request or that thought? And there was that man, and he was on a beach, and he was walking along in deep prayer. And he'd go on the beach because he loved to pray, and he was praying through and praying through. And all of a sudden, God shows up, and the cloud comes down in the beam of light, and he goes, my son, you can ask me whatever you want because you've been so faithful. And ask me whatever you want, one request. And the guy thought selfishly. He said, you know what? Lord, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared to fly. I'm scared of boats and them sinking. I have these phobias. So would you build a bridge all the way across from this coastland all the way across to Hawaii? Build that, Lord. Build me a long bridge, and I'll ride my car all the way across. And the Lord thought, told him back, said, that's kind of selfish. All the infrastructure it's going to take, all the cement it's going to take, going down the pylons into the deep ocean. you should, there are so many problems and you want to have this. Why don't you ask me for something real that will affect everybody and give me a good request and give me something else. And the man said, you know what? I want to understand women, Lord. I want to understand when they say nothing's wrong, but I know something. I want to understand what they mean by that. Lord, I want to understand why, Lord, what makes them mad. I want to understand a woman, Lord, how to please her. I want to understand everything there is about women. Would you show me, Lord? And the Lord thought for a moment, and the Lord finally replied, would you like one lane or two lanes on that bridge? Hey, I only have so many jokes. I've been doing this almost 20 years. So if you heard it before, amen. It's still funny though, right? Yeah. See, people of faith are okay when they don't get the first answer or they don't really understand it or it doesn't seem like God's doing the right thing. That's a person of faith, and they're okay with it. And the question is, are you going to become that person of faith today? I've asked the Lord, God, where were you at when that happened? Lord, why did they have to die so soon? And God demanded something, and God, you weren't there on time. I've asked the Lord that over and over, and there are seasons that I haven't understood God, just like every one of us in this room. Our heart beats the same, and we walk on earth the same way today. And there was a season in our hero's life, Abram. He was named Abram before he was named Abraham. And he was real disappointed because he was already growing older, and God had promised him an inheritance, an heir, to take his next level and go to the next level. And he was old. Sarah was getting old. And he said, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen. And he was going to God. One thing I know about Abraham, as much as I'm going to dog him a little bit, was when he had struggles, he went to God. He didn't walk away from God. When he had a struggle, he would have come to Living Faith Church if this would have been his church. He wouldn't have stayed away. He would have drawn into the people of God. Hey, I need prayer, man. I need some hope today, right? I need God's people surround. I can't do this isolation thing, right, everybody? Amen. And you need God during those moments today. One thing that makes you a hero of faith, man and woman in this room today, is that you approach God. You keep approaching God. You keep going towards God, right, everybody? Amen. And so God counsels Abraham in this disappointing season that he had to have children. He's grown old. In Genesis chapter 15, would you turn to it in your Bibles or your devices? It's going to be on the big screen, I believe. And it said this, but Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain what? Childless. I'm sorry, you're not there, right? Like I am. You're not childless. In other words, God, you promised me that I would have a son today. And it's Genesis 15. You're at 18, if that could, you could help me out with that. I know I messed you up, Alex. It's not Alex's fault. I did a bunch of stuff. I guess I was doing a bunch, you know, Father's Day, man. Maybe I was eating too many sweets, amen. Turn to Genesis 15 when you can find it. I think it was the first service. If not, take that off because it's confusing me and it's confusing everybody else. Amen. I mean, I'm OCD and I need another donut. Give me a good amen. Yeah. And the one will inherit my estate from Eliezer, Damascus. And this is now he has a servant his butler. And is he going to get everything, God? Because I'm getting older. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so the servant of my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. God is speaking to him. The son is coming from your own body, and he will be your heir. I still don't get it, God. I'm sure Abraham said, because I'm old, and I need this aha moment. And that's when God, he said, he took him outside. And he said, look towards the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. They lived in the country. There was no light, so it was a bunch of stars. And he said, so will your offspring be. And because of what's about to happen, what I'm about to tell you is happening, I think he gets this encounter with God, but he still doesn't get it. And I know we're like that in a lot of ways because you get the promise of God and we don't get it because it's a journey of faith. Somebody say that, journey of faith. Journey of faith. I would love if it was a sprint. But God's ways are higher than my ways. God's ways are, his thoughts are much bigger than my thoughts. And so I can't contain God in my limited thinking, in my limited mind. And so it's a journey with God. It takes every day serving the Lord. And so God takes a long time. And I wish he didn't because I like stuff quick. How about you? I don't like the waiting game. I don't like, and God, I'm going to tell you some stuff about God, and you're probably not going to like it, but it's true. Because God is this way. God takes a long time, and I want stuff real convenient. And he's notorious. So just get comfortable in understanding God's ways today. And so Abraham, because he hears God, but a season later, he gets tired of waiting. And he takes matters into his own hands. And we have that ability too. God, give me that because you promised it, but I'm going to make it promise. I'm going to do my promise now. And Sarah has this maidservant named Hagar. And that can't be good with somebody named Hagar. You'll get that at 3 a.m. And he says, Sarah says, why don't you just have a relationship with her and she'll give us the heir that we need. And he does. And an Ishmael is born. And that's a dangerous thing. Because when you take danger, it's a dangerous thing. Because when you take things out of God's hands and place them into your hands because you can't wait, things wound up, generations can get cursed. And the father of all the Arabs now is Ishmael. Those are beautiful people. They're not cursed at all. But there's division now. Do you understand that? When you receive Christ, the curse comes off. It doesn't matter about people, but there's always division. All because of one. You say, well, what I'm doing right now won't hurt anybody. It will. And you'll understand it. And if you grow up enough, you'll understand it, that it is hurting more than yourself today because of disobedience and you taking the promise. God's timing is perfect, but ours isn't. Amen. It's, we have this warped sense of timing. Because we have ATMs and we have drive-thrus, and I went to that Chick-fil-A. Doesn't Chick-fil-A have an extraordinary drive-thru? I wish Jack in the Box would learn of Chick-fil-A. Give me a good amen, all the Jack in the Box general managers you're watching. Because they got that thing, you drive up, you don't talk into a speaker, you talk to a human being. It's a guy, and he's sharp, a young person, and they're enthusiastic. And they go, I'll take a number one. Sir, what kind of sauces would you like? I'll take this, the Chick-fil-A sauce, take some mayonnaise, I'll take some ketchup. Give me that Pistol Pete hot sauce or whatever it's called, that hot sauce. I'll take a number one because I want to sprinkle that on my fries. Amen, those waffle fries. And so I go to the next window, and they'll say, by the way, sir, you'll be greeted with somebody else there, and you can just pay them. So I give them my card. They swipe it right there with that machine. Has anybody been to Chick-fil-A? Oh, yeah, and also, don't forget the lemonade, amen? Get the lemonade in there. You're going to have the full experience, amen? We can diet later. Give me a good amen. So I go through there, and they give me the thing, and they say, okay, sir, you just go up and pick up, and it's there waiting for me. Now, to get through the line, because there's like 20 cars, I finally got there, but to get through the whole experience of greeting people, it's like 5 minutes, and they got my sandwich ready in the next window, and they go this, sorry you had to wait so long. Give me a break, man. I didn't have to wait long. I waited 5 minutes. Do you understand what it would have been? It would have meant for me to make a chicken sandwich at my house the way you made it. I would have been full of flour. I would have been exhausted. The waffle fries would have never got made like they. I would have made those round circle fries, right? Not an experience. The lemonade wouldn't have tasted like it's there. But they did it within five, because we have this warped sense, I can get it now and I can get it. And God is not Chick-fil-A. Give me a good amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God didn't answer all your prayers when you were younger? Because some of y'all, I'm going to marry her one day. And then you saw her on Facebook 20 years later. And you go, thank God I didn't marry her. Give me a good amen. God, I really wanted to marry her. You looked her up on, he looked him up on Facebook, ladies, and that he was hunk, but now he's a chunk. Give me a good amen. Don't look at him that way. He can lose weight. Come on. Great people in the Lord wait for the Lord. Great people of faith know to wait on the Lord. Galatians says that the fruit of the Spirit is patience, because it's from the Holy Spirit, right, everybody? Sophie Cochran prayed this legendary prayer one time. We were praying together years ago, and I never forgot. See, when you attend Living Faith Church, it's okay. But when you belong to Living Faith Church, you get to hear legendary prayers. And because I belong, I was in there praying. We're all amen and yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We were praying for something. They were praying. And we were, you know, Sophie started to pray. And I don't remember the full prayer or the full experience, but I do remember these words when she prayed. She prayed this. She said, Lord, you're not going to be early. And Lord, you're not going to be late. But Lord, you're going to be right on time. And I got slayed in the spirit. Somebody had to hold me up. Help me, Elizabeth. I'm coming. No. That's you. Sanford, who watches Sanford and Son like Nava did? That was a good prayer, Sophie. And I remind her from season to season when we're praying or we're seeking God. I said, do you remember that? Because I never will forget that today. God's always right on time, everybody. And that's something we can copy, right, everybody? God sees the right in your life, and he always does it right. I'm going to share three faith stories with you today. And I think maybe the projector went off, but you're going to have to just take me by faith if it doesn't go back up. God does the right thing. Number one is this, even when it seems what? Absurd. It seems absurd. There are times when you say, are you kidding me, God? So God waits, like Abraham's like 99. I don't know why he just didn't make him 100, but he waited till he's 99, and Sarah was 89. And when God said, it's time, you know what they did? They laughed. That can't be right. You know, they laughed. Are you kidding me? This is absurd. And so in Genesis chapter 18, here we go. There we go. Genesis chapter 18, verse 10, it says this. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a bambino, right? And now Sarah was listening to at the entrance of the tent. And tent is very important because you're going to see right there that it, just the symbolic of that, where they were at that time. And how many know ladies listen to conversations? Give me a good amen. It's Father's Day. I can get away with it. Give me a good amen. Which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past childbearing years. She was 89. Can you imagine Sarah going to the Steinmark shopping for a maternity wear? She's 89. Who are you here for? My granddaughter. No, you're lying, Sarah. Amen. So Sarah laughed to herself, and God still knows when you're mocking, right, everybody? And he thought, after I'm worn out, my master's old, will I have this pleasure? I don't think so. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why is Sarah laughing? And said, will I really have a child now that I'm old? And then this famous thought, somebody needs to say this thought, made history. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Why don't we say that together? Is anything too hard? Look at your neighbor once, twice, and say, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord today? Yeah. Nothing is that difficult. You build trust with God, and you build this trust. And that's why when we're singing the songs of faith during worship time, there's no better atmosphere to not remind God of the promises, but to sing the promises of God in your life when you're faced with some circumstances. There's this power, a resilient faith today. We expected Donna to come back in 6 months. That's what she told us. But within 3 weeks, she's back. Amen. She's in a little bit of pain. I can see it, but she's here. What excuse do you have that the sun didn't come out today, that you didn't come to church? I think we look at Donna and we say, hey, we need to be in church today. Give me a good amen. Amen. And she sang her faith today as we sang our faith today. We build our trust in God. What is the greatest need that you have in your life today? Is it healing? I'm lonely, Lord. My calling hasn't come about. I have debt, my marriage, my family's salvation. What is the greatest need today that you can enter into the promises of God and build the faith to God and that's resilient and say, Lord, I'm going to sing about you today. As the word is being spoken right now, I'm going to grab a hold of that word because it's mine. I'm going to take it for my own today. And you grab a hold of it and God says this, I'm going to return at the appointed time, but it's coming and you're waiting for it. I'd rather God come and my heavenly Father come and I'm excited about him coming than me being all mad that he took too long. Because it's better received, right, everybody? Amen. With that spirit of yes, that spirit of an attitude that you have a yes face on instead of a no face on. Give me a good amen. God will answer it, and it always brings glory to God when you have that yes countenance. The second thought is this: God always does the right thing. Get ready here, even if it doesn't seem right. Yeah. God, you're wrong about this one. I know more than you. No, you don't. Amen. God, of course, is never wrong. There's a story of Abraham's life that he builds his level. He goes to the next level, and he's really now facing a city that's going to be destroyed, Sodom and Gomorrah. And his nephew Lot has wound up in all that mess that's happening. And God is coming to destroy the city. And Abraham has the heart of God, and he begins to intercede because he loves his nephew. He says, Lord, don't let it get wiped away because my nephew's there. And so, God, you're not right about this matter, and I know you're not. But every time that he's troubled by God and he thinks that God isn't fair or doesn't seem right, do you know what he does? He doesn't pout, suck his thumb, or go away and my toy only. I'm not going to play with anybody. You know what he does? He approaches God. He approaches the atmosphere of faith. And he approaches God again in Genesis chapter 18, and he comes near with a spirit of intercession. This is what prayer is all about. Whenever you see an individual talking to God, they're praying, right? Whenever you talk to God, you are praying. I'm in my car. You have a spirit of intercession. You can talk to God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 23 on the big screen says this: Then Abraham approached God and saying, Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And there he goes. He begins to negotiate with God like he can. And remember that story? Lord, would you save Sodom and Gomorrah for just 50 righteous? And he does that auctioneer thing, 50, 50 gone once, 50 gone twice, 50 gone twice, sold. Now, and he says, would you do it for 50? And the Lord says, I'll spare it for 50. And he knows that there's not 50 in there because it's just Lot and his family, which is just a couple. He says, Lord, would you do it for 45? 45, 45 going once, 45 going twice. So, and he says, I'll do it for 45. He goes, I'm just trying to keep you awake, okay? So would you do it for 30? And he goes on, and he goes on down, and he finally gets a number where Lot and his family are contained. He says, I'll spare it for Lot and his family. And Lot, you know the story. And it goes on to say, it says this in Genesis 18, 23. And Abraham approached him saying, Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? To question God is not wrong if you come to the right conclusion. If you question God today, you're not wrong. But you got to come to the right conclusion. Remember Jesus asked on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was Jesus, the Son of God. You can ask God questions because you're real, and he's our Heavenly Father. Amen. Come to the right conclusion. And that's why the last sentence is this. He comes to the conclusion in the last verse 25, will not the judge of all the earth do right? God's going to do right. Even though it doesn't seem right, God's going to do right. You got to come to the right conclusion and have faith that way. Well, God, you're not fair. People of understanding of faith, they understand that God is more than fair. Disagreement. See, trust doesn't need to happen when everybody's agreeing. Listen to me. If I'm agreeing with you, there's no trust. It's when you don't agree or when you doubt. Well, there's leadership and all that stuff. I'm really not on the same page. That's when trust needs to happen. I heard the man of God one time tell me and encourage me. He says, we just got to trust Mario. And that was tough. Because then I had to say, man, I better get my act together. I better go pray. Because they believe in me. Give me a good amen. Amen. And thank God that time I didn't disappoint. But I have in other times. Forgive me. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah. It's when two people disagree that trust needs to happen. Amen? God's on your side. Go to the place of trust. Faith is, even when it doesn't make sense, you still trust. In the valley, God, I'm brokenhearted. God, you still trust God today because God won't disappoint you. Finally, it's this one. God does the right thing even when we don't understand. Yeah. The last story of faith is Abraham and Sarah have the greatest test of their life. It's next level faith. They built upon faith and faith. God is the God of the next level. The living faith people in this room are God. We're people of the next level. We go to the next level. We started in a living room 20 years ago almost. This July, 20 years ago, in a living room. And we prayed that God people would show up. And so that level happened. We went into an elementary school. See, we went to the next level because we believe people were, man, I wish I had some help in this Episcopalian church because nobody's amening about the next level. And we went to the next level in the elementary school off Culebra, which many of you visited and many of you were there for the inaugural service. And then we went to the next level when we saw the storefront. We were there in Ingram Square for many years. Had some good times in that storefront, right? And then we saw this piece of land with a dilapidated day-old bread store that was beat up and messed up. And we said, we have faith for the next level. And we had such faith that we paid it off with the land in 7 years. That's next level faith. And when I announced that we were waiting for the C of O to come into this building because we were being held up and it was ready to go, but we couldn't get in because the C of O, the city wouldn't let us get in here, we announced in that building, we're going to pay this thing off too in the name of Jesus. And I had one guy laugh, just like Sarah laughed. You saw what happened to her. She got pregnant, right? Be careful. And he laughed. And you know what? It kind of bothered me. But you know what? I said this now. I'm going to be laughing with you when we're paying it off. People of the next level believe for the absurd, the impossible. When it doesn't seem right, when it ain't there, it happens. Amen? We got much more to do. And so we got to get this half a million out of in the rearview mirror that we're testifying it about. We're saying, this is just the beginning. We got so much else to do. We got a whole bunch of years left, right, everybody? So Mount Moriah is this mountain that God tells Abraham, take Isaac, your heir, take him up there, and I want you to sacrifice him. Why would God ever ask someone to sacrifice their son? God didn't want that to happen, and it wasn't going to happen. It was a test of faith for Abraham. Because if God would have asked me to sacrifice my son or daughter, I would have said, God, you know, I'm not going to the next level. I'm going to stay at this level forever, Lord, because I can't do that. But I wasn't Abraham, and neither are you. And it was just a test of his faith. God doesn't want anybody. That's not God. But God wanted to test him and see where he was at with his walk, with his journey of faith. And so Abraham never questions God because he's learned at that moment. He's learned because of the next level. See, if we went back to Ingram Square, this is easy. We can do that. I'm looking forward to something else. How about you today? My wife was healed of cancer. And so I can testify to those that are going through cancer, God heals cancer. It's just the next level. It's your journey. I don't like going through stuff that hurts me, that hurts her, that hurts us. As a church family, I don't want anybody to hurt, but I do have faith now. Amen. And God, what is it next now, right? Get ready. Amen. Because we're people of faith. No, God, you missed it. God's always right. No, God, you're wrong about this one. God is never wrong. He's always right, everybody. Amen. God did it right. In Hebrews chapter 11 on the big screen, are you there with me? Why don't you read this together, Living Faith? You haven't had any fun all day. Let's read it on three. Are you ready? Two people are ready. Come on, back row. Y'all ready? Amen. One, two, three, go. By faith. Abraham reasoned that God could raise him. So even if the knife was over him, and even if it plunges into his chest, God's going to raise him up. And God did provide that day. The knife was stopped, and a ram was found in the thicket. And the Lord will provide. Amen. The commitment was, Abraham was completely committed, as so was Isaac. And he was going to be sacrificed today. And God would raise him up from the dead today. See, the more that you know the Lord, the more that you will trust him. Father God knows best. God, Father knows best. Don't you know that right now? I think if Abraham had one more lap to run with you, that just one more lap. I got to get back. I got my reward waiting for me. I got eternity. I got my promise waiting for me up there. I think if he did one more lap, I think he would tell you this. He would tell you some extra things. He says, I got one more thing to tell you. I think it would be this. He would tell you one more lap. He would tell you his final words, don't make earth your... What do you mean by that, Abraham? There's this thing that we have upon this earth that we want to bank everything. We want to have pleasure. We want to do it all. And I'm not saying I enjoy my home, but you know what? I hate keeping my grass alive. And one day I won't have to do that in heaven. But right now I got to keep my grass alive. And it helps me. This earth is it's being burned up already. By the way, we need some rain. Give us some rain, Lord. Right, everybody? Amen. We've all had things that disappoint us today. All of heaven's people. They would tell the struggler. They would tell the people that are disappointed, don't make earth your home, because you're going to get disappointed when you make earth your home today. You're going to bank everything on that earth. You're going to lose out today, and it's going to disappoint you. In Hebrews chapter 11, extra notes on the screen, it says this, 9 and 10, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. In other words, he was just traveling through. He lived in tents. Now, this man could have had a mansion because he was very wealthy. Father Abraham had money. He had bank. As did Jacob. They had an inheritance. As did Isaac and Jacob, whose heirs were with him at the same promise. They all were promised men, but they lived in tents. This isn't my home. I don't want to live here. So we're just putting something temporarily up. And he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Right, everybody? I want to enjoy heaven. How about you? Amen, yes. And so it may not work out for me so much on this earth. Right, everybody? Amen. And so you live with this eternal perspective that just saying heaven will work out. Everything that I do, I got to send my resources ahead. I got to think about the way we spend money. You got to think about the way that you spend money, because it's really not yours. You're stewards of it. And so how are you spending? How are you spending your time? What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing that you're sending it ahead? Thank God. I said, well, are you ruining everything on this earth? Because I really wanted it. Here's the perspective I have for you. I do funerals because that's what I do as a pastor. And I've encountered life situations and funerals that are like, of course, they're not happy. And there's been some heartbreak at funerals. The very first funeral that I ever did, I arrived at Northwest Christian Center is their youth pastor. Within a month, I don't know Corpus Christi. It's in Corpus Christi. And I'm finding my way through Corpus Christi, trying to know the roads and so forth. Well, the funeral was for this high school student that had committed suicide. He had gotten jealous over his girlfriend taking another boyfriend, Cal Allen High School, and he shot himself in the head, committed suicide. Well, they wanted a local church to help, and so we responded. My pastor said, Mario, you're doing the funeral. You're the youth pastor. And it was the very first one that I did officially where people were coming, you know. And so the auditorium at Northwest Christian Center was packed full of teenagers. And I knew it was a defining moment, not only for everyone in that room, but also for myself. And so they had him cremated, because it was a family that did that, and they had the son in an urn. And so did the funeral. Young people received Christ, and they were born again based on a tragedy. God redeemed it. But here's kind of the one that makes you a little bit, well, it worked out in spite of you, Mario. Well, I was finding my way through Corpus, and I didn't know where it was. And the cemetery that the urn was going to be buried in was downtown Corpus. And I didn't know Corpus Christi, man. I knew Cal Allen and Annaville. That was the north end of it. But when I got, so I had the urn, and everybody was following me. The funeral procession, like 50 cars were behind me. And back then, we didn't have young people GPS maps. And there they go, man. And I'm thinking, how do I get to this place? And they kind of give me verbal instructions. And I don't have the spirit of recall. I don't remember stuff as quick. And I was going, man, and I thought, I'm going to get lost. And I have the urn with me. It was sitting in my front seat. And so it's better than a movie. Give me a good amen. And by the grace of God, we found the cemetery and 50 cars parked in back of me. And we were able to do what we did today. Funerals, what I've learned about them, you don't ever have the perfect words, because I've done enough. You don't have the perfect setting, of course. And there are no perfect words, and right, so you got to look ahead. And that's where you point people, this doesn't stop here. Salvation happens again, amen. Our bank is in heaven. Amen. our inheritance is in heaven. If you're messed up right now about this earth, about something right now, if you're going through something and you're mad or upset, you know what you did? You counted too much on earth. And earth will disappoint you. Heaven won't, right, everybody? The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12 on the big screen. And so from one man, he was as good as dead. His body part wasn't working anymore. And he came as descendants. As numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand in the seashore. After he was gone, the promise came. He never saw it while he was on this earth. And Lord, if I don't get that answer, if I don't get it, I'm going to be very upset. And God, if it doesn't go my way, I'm going to be mad. And you know how I am. Abraham could have been just like you, just like me. But he didn't even see it. The promise is now, which is bringing joy now even more so because you wait for something. And look at it's beyond stars now. It's beyond sand now because he waited. Are you willing to wait for the Lord today? Thank God for five of you in this room today. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, you have that with me. Why don't we look at that with me today? Right, everybody? Hebrews 11, 13, are you there with me? And all these people were standing, living by faith when they died. And they did not receive the things they were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a... Yeah, it's coming, but it's coming. And I'm waiting for it. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers. I don't belong on this earth. You know, I'm just visiting. Amen. And people who say such things, they were looking for a country that wasn't their own. We're ambassadors on this earth. Thank God for it. Right, everybody? Represent Jesus well. It says this, if they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would only have the opportunity to return. No, you burn the ship, right? You're going to stay here. We're staying. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he has prepared a city for them. They got it. They got it, didn't they? Amen. And do we get it too? Yes. Yeah, we get it. Do you receive the word of God this morning? Amen. Do you receive it today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you receive the word of God. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of trust and faith. Thank you, Father. And there may those that... are having a hard time, Lord. Maybe something failed in their life or disappointment. Thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged at this very moment. God, you're at work. God has a plan. And it's a good plan according to the Word of God. It's promised that God would bring good to all of us in this room as His children, right? And so I pray that they would trust you, Lord. They would even have a blind trust, a trust even when they're discouraged. A trust when they're not even agreeing with everything that's happening around them, but they trust you, Almighty God, right now. Encourage the discouraged right now. We're waiting, Lord. We wait for you, Lord. We wait as I wait for you, God. I wait for you because I know, God, my Father in heaven, you always do the right thing for everyone in this room. Now give the people of God in this congregation the healing that they're waiting for. Thank you, Father. We line up with the promises of God. Give them, Lord, that remedy of encouragement, Lord, when they're lonely, Lord. Thank you, Father, for fellowship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God, always, my Father, you always do the right thing. As your heads remain bowed and your eyes closed, you've never heard a message like this before, and you find yourself here, or something right now is making you uncomfortable, and it's something within your life, your heart right now. And you don't know the Lord the way that Abraham did. You're on the fence, and you can't decide right now. The Bible says that those that come to him come as an act of surrender, that we're saved only by the grace of God. That means nothing that you can do, no deeds, no coming to church every Sunday. You're saved by the very grace of God. You're saved because we compare ourselves to Jesus and we say, Lord, I'm wicked. I need you. I'm lost right now. If you're in this room and you've never said yes to Christ, I want you to put your faith and trust in God today. Say yes to the Lord. today, you're far away from God, I always want to give you an opportunity before you leave to do that today. And you're in this room today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand's lifted slightly. I'll note your hand and you pray a prayer right where you're at today. I'll lead you in that prayer. If that's you, would you quickly lift your hand and say, that's me, I need redemption in Christ today. I need to say yes to him. God bless you. You're my sister. You can put it down. Somebody else, just making sure. God paused everything just for one person in this room, and I'm not going to embarrass my sister. She's already my sister. The prayer is just formal, but we say this prayer together. All the saints that are saved by grace, that's you and me today. My sister that lifted her hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Right now, this is the day that you receive Jesus as your Savior. You're coming home today. You're coming home. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. I need your salvation. I need a new beginning. I need hope, Lord. And thank you. Thank you for the cross of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. It washes away all my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless the people of the Lord. I empower them right now. The gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you. It's within every believer. Everyone in the house has it today. We bless that person right now. Thank you. Overflow in their lives. Bless the saints in this room. If your father's next to you, your dad is next to you, your husband's next to you today, today's Father's Day, I think it would be appropriate right now in the spirit of prayer. You that are watching by the internet right now, you get blessed too. We want to bless every father that's watching right now online. The fathers in this congregation right now, you're by them. Hold their hand or put your arm around them. Look at them and bless them. Lay your hand on them. They're a man of God. These are men of God that we're laying hands on right now. They're men that, there are men in this room right now that thank God for them. We thank heaven for every father right now. Thank you that the warriors are in this room. The mighty men of God are in this room. Bless that man of God right now. You're holding on to your husband, your grandfather, a son. Thank God. Bless each man of God. Lord, I thank you, the protectors and the providers and the priest of the home right now. Thank you for the mighty men, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Encouragement is coming to every father in this room. We want them to have a happy day, a good day today. We bless them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. If you didn't have anybody to pray for you, God, I'm praying for you right now. I'm in agreement for you right now. If you didn't have a father in your life right now, God heals you of that. You have a heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, come on, bless the men of God in this room. Bless them. Bless them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a connection card that's found in front of you. If you have a prayer need in your life, I'll take that prayer need and I'll pray. Irma and I pray and bless you. Every week we get those cards. Update us again on information on that. Growing in faith happens every Sunday at 9 a.m. Please be part of that. It's vital to your salvation and your next level as a disciple today. Right, everybody? Amen. We're going to receive our tithe and offering. We're going to have offering music played. Amen. And we come to the Lord and we're going to celebrate our giving today because we have the opportunity to give and bring back a portion. I'd like to tell you this as you get your giving ready. Hold it in your hand before you, and we'll declare something from it today. An apple seed has to come out of the core before it becomes an apple tree. And an apple seed has to come out and meet other elements so it can grow. I've never seen a farmer bury an apple seed or a bunch of seeds and have a funeral. Does he? No. Farmers don't have funerals when they bury their seed. What they do is they wait and they wait and they water and the sun comes out. They set it up in the right soil and atmosphere so there can be a harvest. And God does that with the tithe and what we do with our giving today. Because we put it in the atmosphere of God. We put it in the place of miracles. We bring it back to the storehouse. And God does something in the atmosphere that we get it back. Some tenfold, some 20-fold, some 30, and some 100-fold. The Bible proves that, right, everybody? And he's proved it in my life. And if you've been a consistent giver, he does it within your life too. You're amening, right, everybody? Amen. But you have to put seed in the ground and not have a funeral. It's going away. I'm never going to see that again. No, it's coming back to me because I'm blessed. The cycle of God, amen, comes back to me with wealth, health, and goodness, amen. And so I'm not ruled by a paycheck, neither should you be, amen. God has more. I'm not defined by it. That's not my income. I get more because God, I live out of the limitless zone. And so should you if you begin to tithe and bring your offering and above and beyond that. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So we hold our tithe in our hand, our love offerings, and we thank God for it right now. Father, thank you. We give, Lord, right now generously. And I thank you, Jesus, just for the wealth of God coming upon people, the health and vitality that they need. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen,
amen and amen. We're going to celebrate the Lord in our giving stand. We're not dismissed till the final amen. Give me a good amen, so don't leave until we say the final amen. God bless you as you give. Quiet in this Baptist church, right? We're not a Baptist church. Somebody corrected me, amen. So I just do that for tease, amen. Let's there it is, amen. I'm hungry, amen. Why don't we stand to our feet, amen? Let me bless you out, amen. You just leave and you're blessed, amen. You came in blessed and you're leaving blessed, amen. Extend your hands in front of you like this, amen. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Make sure you take some great pictures out there, dads, and then make donuts or left. Amen. Make sure you take a few. Amen. Be blessed today. We love you. We'll see you again next.